Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters podcast, focusing on what's important to the total Army community. Today's episode is brought to you by GEICO. This Military Appreciation Month, GEICO would like to thank all current and retired military personnel. As a member of AUSA, you could qualify for a special discount. It's GEICO's way of saying thanks for all you do.
Welcome to another episode of Army Real Talk, an Army Matters podcast from the Association of the United States Army's podcast series. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Brittany Lloyd, the AUSA Army Fellow. Today is our second episode of our Adopt a Unit series, and we get to hear from the 3rd Security Force Assistance Brigade. The 3rd SFAB recently returned from a deployment to Afghanistan and is preparing their next teams for missions. Based out of Fort Hood, Texas, we are joined by the 3rd SFAB Command Team, Colonel Michael Trotter, and Command Sergeant Major James Light, and the 1st Battalion Leadership. I'm excited to have you guys with us today. Although SFABs generally have similar missions, Colonel Trotter and his team are aligned with U.S. Central Command, focused primarily in the Middle East. The missions, cultures, and requirements are unique and challenging, and I look forward to hearing about it from Lieutenant Colonel Brendan Gallagher, Command Sergeant Major Andrew Whittingham, and Sergeant Major Jacob Gilmore. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. I'd like to start it off by hearing a little bit about yourselves and your current position. Colonel Trotter, can you please start us off?
Thank you so much. Really, on behalf of our team here, we couldn't thank you enough for having us as part of the podcast and the Adopt a Unit program. So we really are excited to be here and talk about our team. A little bit about me. I've been in the Army since 1990. I joined the Army at what used to be Fort Dix. I graduated West Point, believe it or not, and I became an infantry officer. So I've done infantry my entire career, served in many, many facets of different types of units. Last assignment most recently was the Brigade Combat Team Commander and the Ready First Combat Team in 1st Armored Division, where we converted from striker to an armored brigade. And then I was fortunate enough to be selected here to command again in the 3rd SFAB. And to be very frank with you, this has probably been one of the most challenging assignments I've had in the Army, given a depth and breadth of experience, but I wouldn't have it any other way. Couldn't be more proud to be here with the 3rd SFAB and here at Fort Hood and being amongst great professionals that you will hear from today. And with that said, I'll turn it over to my battle buddy, Command Sergeant Major James Light.
Thank you, sir, for that. And ma'am, again, I'll echo Colonel Trotter's comments. It's definitely an honor to be here and to get to tell a little bit about our story to the rest of the Army. So thank you for hosting us today. About me, you know, I hail from the great state of Mississippi. Been married to my beautiful wife, Catherine, for 21 years and have a son who's a junior cadet right now at the University of North Georgia. So he'll be continuing the family business and donning the uniform here, hopefully, in about 18 months. So I'm 24 years in the United States Army, enlisted as a 19 kilo, did some time there at Fort Knox, Kentucky, and then I've served in various assignments, both heavy and light, throughout my career. In my previous assignment, I was the Brigade Command Sergeant Major for the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team of the 1st Cavalry Division. Coming over here to the 3rd SFAB, December of 2019, and joining them forward in Afghanistan for their inaugural deployment into CENTCOM. It was an honor and a unique experience to be the first non-plank holder to be integrated into the brigade. So I had the honor of beginning the journey of transitioning the brigade to Generation 2 or Chapter 2, sometimes we call it here, not only from the plank holders to the second generation advisors here in 3rd SFAB, but changing our mission set from deploying forward as a brigade into Afghanistan, now to being focused on the entire combatant command. So again, thank you for having us here. I appreciate the opportunity to tell our story. And back to you guys.
Sir, Sergeant Major, thank you for that. Quite impressive. Now I'd like to turn it over to the battalion leadership team, Lieutenant Colonel Gallagher. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Absolutely. And again, we'd like to thank you for your hospitality and providing us this opportunity to talk about our terrific organization and our mission set. Lieutenant Colonel Brendan Gallagher, I command 1st Battalion of 3rd SFAB. I've commanded since last August. And in that capacity, also leading our force package for our upcoming employment to the CENTCOM area. I served as an infantry officer for just about 20 years now, originally ROTC graduate, have completed previous deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan, and on a personal note, born and raised in Maryland, husband to my wife Elizabeth, and we have 4 terrific kids. With that, I'll turn it over to my battle buddy, Command Sergeant Major Whittingham.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am, thank you for hosting us. I am Command Sergeant Major Andrew Whittingham, and I am 1st Battalion, 3rd SFAB Command Sergeant Major. Prior to my current assignment, I served as a Command Sergeant Major for a Combined Arms Battalion within the 1st Cavalry Division of Fort Hood, Texas. I am an infantryman by trade, and have served in various assignments during my 27-year Army career. I have been stationed at Fort Benning, Georgia, Fort Riley, Kansas, Fort Carson, Colorado, Fort Bliss, Texas, Germany, Republic of Korea, and Hawaii. I am married and we have four fabulous children. I will now hand it over to Sergeant Major Gilman.
Ma'am, pleasure to be here with you today. And once again, thank you for the opportunity to talk about our fantastic organization. I'm an infantryman by trade, definitely a light infantryman at that, 23 years in service. Really spent about 15 of my 23 years in reconnaissance, from like long range surveillance to scouts to reconnaissance advanced leader force instructor. Did a couple of things outside of that, like ROTC instructor, recruiting duty. Really the only normal line time I did as a first sergeant in 82nd Airborne Division. Recent grad about a year ago from the Sergeant Major Academy. Been here for about a year. Love this organization. Came here really because there is no organization really that has the operational relevance right now that the SFAB does. And once again, because of my reconnaissance background, I really love the small unit tactic environment. And that's what we're all about, the synergy here is with our small teams.
Gentlemen, thank you. And frankly, impressive careers on all of you guys. And I'm honored to be with you guys and be able to share this experience. Your expertise and knowledge of not only your traditional day jobs, but with the SFAB, I think is going to definitely benefit not only myself, but our listeners as we follow you guys through the next year and some of your mission sets as you prepare. With that, Colonel Trotter, I'd like to turn it over to you. And if you can kind of describe the role and the mission of the 3rd SFAB and how you guys support CENTCOM.
So our organization, and just to kind of pull up maybe to the strategic level, fairly new to the Army. We have 5 active component SFABs, and we are all geographically aligned to a combatant command. We drew what I like to call here the blue-collar combatant command, arguably one of the toughest, most challenging geographic combatant commands on the planet, and the 3rd SFAB's role, to boil it down in simple terms, we build relationships with our partner forces. If you listen to the Chief of Staff of the Army talk, in every forum, to include his recent papers number 1 and number 2, the U.S. cannot go about this alone. It is about the joint force, interagency, and in this particular example, our partner forces in the CENTCOM theater of operations. And for us to be effective in achieving our theater security cooperation objectives, it all starts with relationships. So when folks think about the 3rd SFAB and CENTCOM, I think people believe they just maybe gravitate towards Iraq and Afghanistan for all the right reasons. We've been there 20 years, give or take, but the CENTCOM AOR is much broader, bigger, more complex than that. So over 21 countries, to include Iraq and Afghanistan, but other countries that we are developing strong partnerships and relationships with, and to build that trust amongst the strategic leaders. But we are really the ones at the tactical and operational level that are building those relationships with our partnered forces on behalf of the CENTCOM commander and his theater security cooperation objectives, operationalized through Army Central Command, to build those relationships and trust, which really develops the teamwork to building the partner capacity. And oftentimes we throw interoperability around and we kind of sprinkle it, if you will. But what that really equates to, interoperability, is the human, the procedural, and the technical aspects of our forces working together to achieve a common objective. And this SFAB and the people that are in it, who are hand-selected to do this very unique mission, it takes a very special, professional, disciplined soldier, officer, non-commissioned officer, warrant officer to do that. It sounds very easy in this podcast, but it is incredibly hard and complex. And this SFAB, operating in arguably the hardest geographic combatant command on the planet, is literally at the tip of that every single day on this fairly new concept, to be out there on the ground, the Brown Beret on the ground with its partner forces, to build that capacity to either deter a threat or, if need be, defeat a common adversary in the conflict space. So our mission is very unique, very challenging, very rewarding, but also incredibly complex. And it takes a very, very special person to do that. And those are the special people that we have here in our formation. And then the other part to kind of our purpose, if you will, from the Army perspective, is oftentimes we'll talk in terms of we're a very, very low cost, high yield force that goes into theater. And in this particular case, up to about 10 countries right now, scattered across from Kyrgyzstan down to Egypt. And Brendan will talk a little bit more about that part. But the literal cost savings of putting advisor teams on the ground versus that of a brigade combat team or a heavy force or large formations is literally quite expensive. And then the talent that we have and the great plates that we have, we're low cost, but what we like to term incredibly high yield because of how we select our personnel, how we train them, how we prepare them for that very unique and complex strategic mission.
Sir, thank you. And that's all excellent information. And I concur. The partner nations and the joint approach to current and future warfare is critical. And as the chief mentions, we're definitely at a junction with modernization right now. And these types of formations are going to lead us into the future. So you're absolutely correct, sir. Thank you for that. And now I'd like to transition to Lieutenant Colonel Gallagher. As Colonel Trevor mentioned, SAB teams are very unique and specific and highly trained specialists. Can you talk about what your teams consist of and how they complement each other throughout the different types of missions you have?
So our force package in 3rd SBAD has 20 tailored teams, and these teams are agile and can be employed for an array of purposes to effectively meet the demands of a given strategic situation. We have 12-person maneuver advisor teams. These are designed for synergy across the warfighting function, so it includes advisors on operations, on signal, medical, intel, fires, other key areas. Similarly, we also have company and battalion advising teams that are also agile and can easily advise at the brigade and division levels, for example, of our Foreign Security Force partners. Our force package also has uniquely tailored fires and engineer and logistics teams. Across our whole organization, each of these advisor teams really is the center of gravity. And I'd argue that really is a fundamental distinction between our organization and how we operate and most other types of formations across the Army. And I think what's really impressive is the ability of our teams to operate autonomously in various different countries. Often more traditional organization, given unit deploys, and a lot of times you'll have the one or two layers of oversight somewhere reasonably close by. But our advisor teams operate in a very different paradigm. And in the very near future, our force package will be deploying teams for separate missions across about 10 different countries, from as far west as Egypt and all the way up to Kazakhstan and many countries in between. And with that degree of decentralization, the principle of mutual trust is really a foundational part of our success. And we live and breathe mission command. Mission command and the notion of discipline initiative, that is practically embedded into our DNA and how we operate. With respect to the different types of missions, I think it's worth noting that our advisor teams are able to operate and thrive across the continuum from competition through conflict. And our training path, I think, reflected that. We had some collective training that focused on the competition space, and then most recently, our validation exercise focused on the crisis and conflict areas as well. And our advisor teams are highly agile, they're mature professionals, they're comfortable with ambiguity, and they can very seamlessly make that transition across that spectrum based on the specific strategic situation. And so wherever we go and we send our advisor teams, we absolutely are confident that our advisors will understand the bigger strategic picture and where they fit into that to help achieve U.S. strategic objectives, to help build the capacity of our partner nation forces, and also, as a byproduct, enhance and further bolster SBAB's reputation and credibility with our partners. So it's really a privilege to be part of this team. Very, very proud every day of what our advisor teams accomplish. And it's just a great team of teams to be a part of.
Thank you. That sounds like an amazing opportunity to be a part of that type of an organization, to be on kind of those small teams with those unique skill sets. And like you said, to be spread across something as large as Central Command really takes a lot of trust and the discipline initiative, which is key. So that's exciting. And congratulations on your command of that unit.
Hey, everyone. We hope you're enjoying the show. We'd like to take a moment to thank GEICO for making this episode possible. This Military Appreciation Month, GEICO would like to thank all current and retired military personnel. As a member of AUSA, you could qualify for a special discount. It's GEICO's way of saying, thanks for all you do.
Now I'd like to transition to kind of the opposite of the house. Sergeant Major Gilmer, as the Operations Sergeant Major, I'm sure preparing the teams and the units for training with different nations must be complex. How do you work through operations and planning with the different partner nations? And has most of it been virtual?
Well, it really starts with understanding the capabilities and capacities of our partner nations. That's critical because our job is not to make them the U.S. military. Our job is to make them the best military that they can be for themselves. For example, you can't use like a fires detection system for us and train them on it if it's not equipment that they have. But our teams do go through deep analysis once they get assigned missions directly related to the partner force they'll be working with. What we do is what we call a scheme of advising. So they'll come up with a plan of what they have, how they're currently postured, where we want to see them in the future, and how we're going to get them there. And honestly, a lot of times it's asking a lot. We say that they always punch two levels above, and it's true. because our teams are doing things that have to understand strategic level goals, Department of State goals, Department of Defense goals, and obviously our partner nation goals too. A lot of times when they're doing the coordination for that and training, you see a lot of return on investment quickly, and then sometimes it takes a little bit more effort, such as if we establish schools over there. Efforts like that might even be handed off to our next sister force package. But to answer your question, with the COVID specifically, I think Sergeant Major Winningham is going to allude on that a little bit more. But it's definitely an issue in our current operating environment with CDC regulations and DOD. We abide by those, and we've actually found a lot of creative ways to still do advising. A lot of it's still going to be in person, but we do a little bit of virtual. So with that, we do directly do and plan operations with our nation. Usually starts with what we call the country desk officers. After initially doing that planning, we get directly linked up with the organizations we'll be training with to develop periods of instructions. Those periods of instructions get vetted by all stakeholders from rehearsals to execution. Depending on the scope, that might even involve some Department of State stuff before execution on the ground.
That's very interesting. Thank you. And yes, complex. Like you said, it's not just marrying up with another military that generally speaks a common language. You're dealing with Department of State and all sorts of other entities. So throughout the region, there's already many U.S. and coalition forces deployed. How do you integrate and support current ongoing operations?
So there is a lot of current operations in our area of responsibility that are recurring events. Really, you would look at it like their long-range training calendar, much like a date rotation would be for U.S. units. Some big names on that would be like the Bright Star and Inferno Creek training exercises. They happen yearly. So those are really easy to kind of link into. But besides that, there's tons of ongoing operations. They can range anything from like simple seminars to tactical exercises to CalFexes and planning exercise. But Colonel Trotter really alluded to it. We work with interoperability by working and sustaining and investing in relationships. Our partner nation relationships is obviously our primary goal, but we also have interoperability and work with other U.S. units. Recently, we've done a lot of good work with 5th Special Forces Group so that we can support each other. And that says a lot because, like we've alluded to, 10 different countries. Right now, we're at 30-plus missions within less than a six-month window. So there's a lot of things that are constant, and there's a lot of things that are fluid that our teams adapt to accomplish the mission.
Just to kind of reinforce a point that Sergeant Major Gilmer was talking about, when we talk about the 3rd SFAB, sometimes, biased as we are to our organization, we may give an impression that we're the only tool in the tool bag, per se, but one of probably the biggest, I won't say challenges that we've had, but eye-opening experiences, if you will, as a fairly new concept in the Army, is literally trying to understand all of the different stakeholders and players that have been operating in Central Command's area of operations. And Sergeant Major Gilmer mentioned one of them, you know, 5th Special Forces Group, they are aligned to that theater as well. We have the state partnership programs, Title 32 National Guard involvement. We have the regional security assistance commands that work through fielding of certain types of equipment and training. We also have Department of State through foreign military sales operating in the environment. And then we also have international partners. So we're forging a relationship now with elements out of the United Kingdom called the Specialized Infantry Group. So those are just some off the top of my head that we are forging relationships with at the 3rd SFAB level to not just understand where they have been, where they are, where they're going, but how this very unique tool in the toolbox from the 3rd SFAB, how we can complement all of those efforts to bring a unity of effort to achieve a collective theater security cooperation objective.
Sure, that's an excellent point. And I spent many years in the Pacific AOR and did a lot of security cooperation exercises and engagements with many of the countries over there. And I completely understand and only could imagine what it's like moving several small teams all throughout CENTCOM and trying to deconflict and understand, like you said, kind of how to best complement and integrate. So good luck with that. You guys, I'm sure, are doing great.
We're on a good path. It is challenging. I'm not going to fib, but it's also incredibly rewarding. And to be very frank with you, even as a colonel with so many years in the Army, the day you stop learning and growing is maybe a day you need to challenge yourself to maybe not do this anymore. So I learn something each and every day, not just from our teammates inside the formation, but all those entities we mentioned and others that are absolutely just fantastic growth and development that's kind of baked into what we're doing here. And we couldn't be more excited to forge those relationships, as challenging and somewhat humbling as they might be, to acknowledge that you don't know a whole lot that's going on out there. So it is exciting for us too.
I'd like to turn back to some of the training and preparation that we were talking about earlier with Sergeant Major Gilmore. Obviously, operating in a COVID environment has posed a lot of challenges and limitations for a lot of organizations across the military. Command Sergeant Major Whittingham, how has your team kind of worked through some of these? And I'm sure you've come up with creative and innovative ways to maintain your readiness. Can you expound on some of that, please?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Absolutely. I think I'll tell you up front that Force Package 21-2-Charlie has done a phenomenal job protecting the force while training and building readiness in the COVID operating environment. To date, 93% of our advisors have received at least one of the two COVID vaccination doses and have appointments received their second vaccination to complete the series. Our advisors receive education on the importance of protecting themselves, as well as our Foreign Security Force partners during the conduct of their duties, and have volunteered to receive their vaccination. This also ensures we are meeting our host nation COVID requirements. During our training and daily operations, we adhere to all CDC recommendations and guidelines. We stay safe by taking simple precautions, such as wearing our masks in the workplace and workspace at all times. We practice physical distancing when feasible, and we conduct most of our training outdoors to take advantage of the fresh air. When we can't or it's impractical, we keep rooms well ventilated when operating indoors. Our advisors practice good hygiene regularly, including washing and sanitizing their hands. We also ensure our force package has all resources available to them for sanitizing the workplace and workspace, as well as individual advisors. In addition, the SFAP possesses an advantage in abating the spread of the virus because of its unique design, specifically regarding team size. Our advisor teams are small, ranging from 4 to 12 people on each team, which prevents crowding. Some of our training and exchanges also occur in the virtual space, which eliminates the likelihood of infection. Our force package has been successful in building and maintaining readiness because we are exercising a comprehensive strategy to suppress transmission and save lives.
That's excellent news about your team almost being completely COVID vaccinated. That's definitely a big hurdle for not only the Army, but the DoD force at large. So that's awesome, and that definitely helps with your readiness and ensuring their safety as they travel around the world. Thank you, Sergeant Major. I'd like to turn back to Lieutenant Colonel Gallagher real quick. Family support during these types of missions and movements are paramount. Can you talk about some of the ways that you're able to keep your families connected through the constant movement around the world?
Yes, very important topic. And as we go about our business, the health of our force and our families is top priority for us. Because if that foundation isn't solid, that would have real impacts and could undermine our cohesion and effectiveness as an organization. We do have a more mature and experienced population of service members and family members as compared to a lot of other units across the Army. Many of these families have been through one or more deployments or family separations previously. So that helps to manage expectations to an extent. And I say to an extent because it's important for us to acknowledge the unique nature of our teams and kind of how we deploy in a decentralized way to various different countries simultaneously, often for varying lengths of time. And that's distinct from what many of our families are used to. You know, for example, you may be in a given brigade combat team and most of that formation may deploy relatively intact and then redeploy together. That is not the model that we have here. We have a town hall event coming up where we're going to continue to reinforce that message, ensure that we're informing our families, providing resources to them as we prepare our advisor teams to start serving overseas. In addition to that, social media, that remains helpful for us to stay engaged with our families to forge those connections across the board, especially in the COVID environment, as Command Sergeant Major Whittingham just described. We've also done socially distanced events, you know, Halloween trunk or treat, Easter egg hunt, things like that. But clearly at this moment, any events like that have to be done in a very careful, deliberate way that mitigates the risk. But we're cautiously optimistic as the vaccination rates continue to rise across the country, that should afford hopefully more opportunities to explore social events like that. Overall, we're looking to provide opportunities to our families to connect, to support however actively they would like to stay engaged, and really just conveying the unique dynamics of the SFAP organization, again, providing them the resources and information they need to be successful, and really just forming that very solid foundation for us to build upon. And just extremely proud of all of our advisors, our entire team, including our Army families who sacrificed so much and are so important for our team.
As Brendan's kind of talking, you know, the internal of the force package and the dynamics with regard to advisors and family members, I think we would be truly remiss to not showcase and highlight how resilient, if you will, the installation has been here at Fort Hood. And that a lot of times we view these changes, especially in the third SFAB and how we're designed, how we train, how we integrate into the CENTCOM AOR, large-scale combat operations. You know, just the Army is changing. Sometimes we lose sight of how the agencies and those that support our teammates and our families have to change as well. So we couldn't be happier with Fort Hood and the installation, the agencies that help support those family members that Brendan talked about and how willing they are. They participate in our SFRG steering committee meetings. They hear how we are deploying a little bit differently than what we're accustomed to over the last 20 years. And to their credit and to their professionalism, they are adapting how to best support our family members in this very unique organization within the 3rd SFAB. So we have many, many bosses here, but really we could not thank the Garrison Command Team, Lieutenant General White, Command Sergeant Major Burgoyne, and what they do as the senior commanders here to set a good foundation in this particular case for the 3rd SFAB and the agencies that help support our family members.
So that's a very important point and often overlooked when we talk about deployments and family support. In future iterations, we're definitely going to be interested and hope to talk to some of your family members and some of the teams that help get this mission accomplished from the holistic perspective. So I look forward to some of the future engagements with your folks, sir. Gentlemen, thank you so much again for joining us, but we could not close out our session today without hearing from Command Sergeant Major Light. Command Sergeant Major, is there anything else that you'd like to share about your organization and amazing mission that you guys have?
Ma'am, you know, never to ask a Sergeant Major that question. We're always going to have comments or thoughts on whatever it is we're talking about. But for this particular topic, one thing I want to do is leave the Army with a mental picture of what an SFAB advisor looks like. We have the absolute best officers and NCOs the United States Army has to offer. They are the absolute face of our Army and our nation, wherever they may travel. And our formation demonstrates for our partner forces the true power of the United States Army, which is a trusted and empowered NCO Corps, and most importantly, the diversity of our people. You know, that said, we're hiring. And if somebody out there is up for the challenge and they want to put in real work in America's toughest combatant command, give us a call. I can promise you a couple of things, right? You will be challenged here, and you will most definitely leave Fort Hood, Texas in the 3rd SFAB a better leader. And we think that's probably our solemn duty here in this brigade is to produce better leaders for our Army's future.
Sir Major, thank you. And I appreciate the hiring plug. It's always important to remind folks of the opportunities that are out there. Gentlemen, thank you again, Colonel Trotter, Command Sergeant Major Light, Lieutenant Colonel Gallagher, Command Sergeant Major Whittingham, and Sergeant Major Gilmore for joining us today with the Army Real Talk Adopt the Unit podcast series with the 3rd SFAB and team, and we look forward to catching up with you guys in the future. Thank you for your service, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, and the same to you, and thanks for what you do.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.